Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the Mishnah at the top of Daf Ayin Tes. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Shnei efshorios al mikumo isha, two possibilities will be presented regarding the location of the woman being divorced, biyachas le ba'ala, relative to where her husband is located, bishah shehu zorek lo gita, at the time that he is throwing the get in her direction. Case one, he lamata b'chaser, she is down below in a courtyard. He is above, he's on a rooftop. Or he lamala, alagag, or she is above on a rooftop, and he is throwing it up to where she is. Ha demigureshis, the divorce, that which she gets divorced, hainu bitnai, that's conditional, shehaget ba'avir mugan, that the get reaches an airspace that we say is protected. When we say protected, that means that even if, let's say, the wind blows or there are other dangerous circumstances, threatening circumstances, the et will remain intact. The Mishnah. Hoysa oimedes al rosh hagag. She was standing on a rooftop. Vizorkoi lo. And the get was thrown up to where she is located. Kevon shigia la'avir hagag, harei zu migureshes. Once the get reaches the roof, so she is thereby divorced. He lamala v'hi, hu lamala v'hi milamata, if the husband is above and she is below, v'zorkoi la, and the get was thrown to her, Kevon shiyotso mirshus hagag, once the get leaves the area of the roof, bearing in mind, once again, he is above on the roof, once the get leaves the air of the roof, nimchako nisraf, if it got erased or burnt, harezu mugureshes. So that, but in order of events, the get first leaves the roof. At that point, then, you see she's immediately divorced. The fact that it got erased or burnt doesn't bother us. The Gemara asks, Feholo mintar, the airspace of the roof is not mintar, is not guarded. We look at Rashi at the top, Feholo mintar avir hagag, the airspace of the roof is not watched, so that in a case where the get is thrown up to her, where she's on the roof, so that it gets to the as the Mishnah said on the second line, Kivon Shigia La'avir Hagag, how does that enable her to be divorced? Why? The Osi Zika, the wind could come, Vishoti Le Mikami Delenach, blow it away before it lands. If it lands on the roof itself, okay, so then that is clearly a case of her being divorced. But until that point, when it's in the airspace of the roof, the get could easily be blown away before it ever lands. The chilo shadya zika, and let's say the wind doesn't blow. The ira lo dover acher shebo kele v'kolto o gishomim machakuhu amai kotoni migureshes. Let's say a dog came and consumed the get, or rains erased it before it landed on the rooftop. Why would she be divorced? Min ho'avir, from the point that it reaches the mere airspace of the roof. We require an airspace that will lead to its actual landing. So where you have this, we'll call this unprotected airspace. You can't describe it as an airspace that will lead to its actual landing, necessarily. That's the Gemara's question. And why in the Reisha does it say, Kevon Shegila Avir HaGag, she's Megureshes? The Gemara answers. You see, you have two answers. Number one, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Begag Shigesh Lo Maike Askinan. Maike is a fence around the roof. So we're talking about a rooftop that is fenced around. Hence, when the get lands within the airspace, there's already a fence around that airspace. So the get is not going to be blown away. Ula bar Menashia Mishmei Davimi Omar. Ula offers an alternative explanation, even without a fence around the roof. Airspace mentioned in the Mishnah is b'pocha b'pochos mishloisha somuch legag askinan. The point of divorce is where it reaches within three tfachim, three hand breaths of the actual roof surface. The chopachos mishloisha somuch legag, whenever you have that distance from the top of the roof, meaning within was less than three hand breaths, kigag domi, it's equal to the roof itself. The next case of the Mishnah, hu milamala, the husband was above on the roof, and he was throwing a get down into a courtyard where the woman was. The Mishnah said that once it reaches the airspace, once it leaves the roof, meaning it's over the chotzer, it's in the airspace of the chotzer, she is divorced. And even if the get gets destroyed before it actually lands, that is of no consequence. So we ask, v'ha'alo mintar. We read Rashi on the third narrow line, v'ha'alo mintar, de kosalka daitoch shehagag govoa mechoimas ha'chotzer. The thinking right now is that the rooftop of this structure is higher than any walls that may surround the courtyard. Behechi Kotani, how can the Mishnah teach Kevon Shiyotza Mirshus Hagag Migureshes, that once the get leaves the area of the roof, she is immediately divorced? Ha ein sofo lo nuach. Who says it's definitely going to land where she is, in the chotzer, in the courtyard? Afilu lo bos deleka, even without a fire present, tiyasi zika v'dochi lechutz lemechitzos, a wind can easily come and cast the get out of the courtyard, even if it's surrounded with walls, because the walls we are assuming right now that are around the chotzer are much lower than the area of the roof. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a double under on one of our series markings. On the side of the Gemara, in the margin under the Mivneh, under the structural note, we indicate these are a Sidra Shel Rabbonim, a series of rabbis, Shikulam Noisnim Oisa Tshuva L'Sheilas V'Holu Minta. They're all going to give the same answer to this question of, isn't it an unguarded situation? The get coming off the roof, thrown off the roof, and simply over the chotzer, how can she be immediately divorced? So, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Kegon, Shehoyu, Mechitzos, Hatachtoinois, Oidfois, Alhel Yoinois. We have a diagram that hopefully illustrates this. If you look in the margin, you see the gag, that illustrates a structure. Then you see, we've noted chotzer, the area around that structure. And then there are walls or fences that extend way above and beyond the height of the roof, so that when the get is thrown off the roof, it's contained within the high walls surrounding the chotzer. Note that this answer will be repeated, as we indicated, just by noticing the double underline. This is the same answer is given. So we continue. V'chein omar Rav Elazar om Rav Hoshaya kegon shoyu mechitzos hatachtoinos oidfois al elyonis. V'chein omar ulo om Rav Yochanan kegon shoyu mechitzos hatachtoinos oidfois al elyonis. They all gave the same answer explaining this section of the Mishnah. Question, and you'll notice we have a new marking, a crown shape on the side under the Mivneh heading. We indicate Sheila Utshuva Shechozeres al Atzma Pamayim. Same question and answer that will appear twice. Haim Yesh Lahamid Es HaMishnah Dafka KeRebi. Are we to establish the Mishnah only like Rebbe, the Rebbe versus the Chachomim? The Omar b'Masech Shabbos, Rebbe says in Masech Shabbos, Kluta kami shehun chodamya. Something caught in the airspace is as if it is has landed in that area. Rebbe describes a situation of someone throwing an item from a public domain through a private domain, and the item lands on the other side, once again in a public domain. As I'm sure most of you are aware, there is a prohibition on Shabbos to transfer an item from one domain to another. One that is one described domain, let's say a public domain into a private domain, and vice versa. In this case, the case in which Rebbe is featured in Masechet Shabbos, the item has been picked up in a public domain, and it lands in a public domain. So there isn't an actual change in domain location with regard to the item. However, in the course of its travel from one public thoroughfare to the next, it went over a private domain. According to Rebbe, that is a Shabbos violation, because kluta, when it's caught in the airspace of the private domain, kami shehun chodamya, it's as if it has landed there. And then its continued travel is again going from a private domain eventually back into a public domain. So our Mishnah, which describes the get being thrown from the roof and ending up over the courtyard, and that's it. That's immediate divorce. Is this then a reflection of an individual opinion, making the Mishnah then a singular opinion, which wouldn't be very strong, because you'd have to deal with the fact that the rabbis disagree? So we turn now to the Gemara text. Amar Lei Rabbi Abba, he asks. Rabbi Abba asks Lu'ula. Keman, our Mishnah that said that the get, even when it's in the airspace and not actually landed, is considered effective in creating the divorce. Kerebi, is this then like Rebbe Yomar Kluta Kami Shehun Chodamya? Is this then like a singular opinion that says Kluta, caught in an airspace, is as if it has landed? Amar Lei, so Ula answers, Afilu Teimur Rabbanan, our Mishnah dealing with the laws of divorce can conform to the Rabbanan as well, the Rabbanan who disagree with Rebbe there in Shabbos. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan ole de Rebbe. It's up till this point, the Rabbanan have a disagreement with Rebbe Elalini in Shabbos. That's only with regard to the laws of Shabbos. Shabbos represents one realm of halacha, avol hacha, but here, with regard to Gittin, the issue is not change of domain, but rather the issue is mishum inturihu. Inturi means guarded. Is it watched? We had a similar word before, mintar. It's the same shoresh, the same root of the word nun tesresh, guarded. Here, the issue is the get guarded? Is it watched? Is it in safe keeping or not? The hakomintar. It is. As we've described, we had in the second case of the Mishnah, if you recall, we had walls surrounding the chotzer that were higher than the roof itself. So when the husband was throwing the get off the roof to the woman waiting, to the wife waiting below in the chotzer, the get was mintar, was in safe keeping the whole time. V'chein om Rav Asi om Rav Yochanan, kegon shoyu mechitzos hatachtonos otfos al helyonos. That describes this situation of mintar. It's been watched. Omar lei Rebbe. Now we should point out that this Rav Asi om Rav Yochanan is is coming on the heels of the issue of the question we raised before, v'holo mintar. So Rav Asi, in the name of Yochanan, answered, like we saw all the rabbis above saying, well, there is no problem, because kagon shahoyu, the walls of the tachtona, of the chotzer, were higher than the elyonos, were higher than the roof. And even if the roof was surrounded with a mica, nevertheless the wall surrounding the chotzer was higher than whatever fence there was around the roof. We didn't, in our illustration, we didn't draw in a fence around the roof, but the wall around the chotzer is illustrated sufficiently high that you can imagine it being higher than whatever wall there would have been around the roof as well. Well, coming on the heels of Rav Asi or Rav Yochanan saying that there is no problem, we nevertheless ask, just like we asked before, Omar Lei Rabbi Zeira L'Rabbi Rav Asi, Keman K'Rebi D'Omar Kluto K'Mishon Chodamya. Are we to assume then that the Mishnah that says she's immediately divorced once the get reaches the airspace above the Chotzer, that's it, she's divorced? That would seem to be just like the individual opinion of Rebbe. Omar Lei, so Rav Asi answers, Afilu Teimo Rabbonon, the laws of our Mishnah can be in conformity to the opinion of the Rabbonon as well. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbonon Lei de Rebbe, Elolin Yin Shabbos. Up till now, there is a disagreement between them regarding the laws of Shabbos. Aval Hocha, Mishum Inturihu. Here, the consideration is being watched here by Get. Ha ka mintar, and it is in safe keeping. Nimchak, the Mishnah said that once the get was thrown off the roof, even if it got erased after it left the area above the roof, she is divorced. Note, we have a trapezoid or volcano shape on the sign under the Mivneh heading. We've described Rav Nachman Meforesh Shtei Dugmois Sheba Mishnah. Rav Nachman will explain the two examples of the Mishnah, namely Nimchak and Nisraf, erased and burnt, Betzura Doimeh, with the same type of explanation. The Gemara. So Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua. By the way, Rav Nachman in the second explanation will also be quoting Rabo Bar Avua. Loi Shanu Elo Shinimchak Derech Yerida. The fact that we declare the get to be a get, to be a divorce, even though it was erased, that's true if the erasure took place on its way down. We mentioned the erasure could be through the water, through rainfall, erasing it in midair. That is no problem as far as the divorce is concerned, provided it took place while the get was on its downward flight. Rashi says, Derech Yerido Kishizorko Klape Malo Kede Lahaviro Es Hamaika Lo Nimchak Ad Shigia Lachzor Valeraid. Rashi is giving a very detailed description of what took place. The husband was standing on the rooftop, and as we indicated before, there was a fence around the rooftop itself. The husband threw the get over the fence surrounding the roof, and the get then, now at that point, he threw it up over the fence around the roof. So there was an upward direction for a short amount of time. After that, it arced over in response to gravity, and then started its flight downwards. Only at that point, Rav Nachman says, if the erasure took place, that after it arced over on its way down and it got erased, she is divorced, even though it didn't actually land in the chotzer. The Gemara goes on, Avol nimchak derech aliyah lo. If, however, the erasure took place while the get was still on an upward flight, even though it left the airspace of the roof, and the walls around the chotzer are higher than the roof fence, even though all of that's in place, she won't be divorced. She's not divorced. Now we look at Rashi, Eino Megureshes. Rashi says, "The derech siluko lo mikri nesina." A get on an upward flight is not called nesina. Nesina is the word found in the Torah where it says, "V'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyoda." He writes a divorce to him v'nosan, and he gives it to her. An upward flight is not called a fulfillment of giving. Elo derech anachosoi lavoi lirshusa. Only once it is in a direction leading to its landing. The Gemara. The Gemara continues. My time off. Why is it? Why is it that when it's in an upward movement, she's not considered divorced? And just to illustrate the problem, let us say the get was thrown off the roof over the roof's fence. It's now over the chutzner, but it's still in its upward movement, and at that point it gets erased. Rav Nachman is telling us she will not be divorced. The Gemara says, Meikora lo lemeinach koi, because at the outset, it wasn't ever going to land as a written get. Why? We're speaking about a case that it got erased. So that if you have just to go over again the details, if you have a get going in an upward motion and it got erased at that point, so it was never going to land. That's in distinction to a get that was on its downward motion, so it was in a direction of landing. So even if it didn't actually land, since the walls around the chutzner are higher, it's considered mintar, and it's considered a get, and you fulfilled all of the requirements. But not so if the erasure takes place while it's in its upward direction, as the Gemara says, because it wasn't destined to ever land as a get. We continue in the Gemara. Nisraf. We mentioned that if after he threw the get off the roof to the wife awaiting the get in the chotzer, it got burnt up. She's divorced. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Avua, Lo Shanu, Ela, the Mishnah's teaching that it is an effective divorce is true only Shekidam Get L'Deleka, that the get was there before the fire. Avo kidma deleka leget, if the fire was there before the get, lo, she would not be divorced. My taima, why is that so? Because meikora, from the very outset, from the very point the get was thrown, lisreifa, because it was thrown into a pre-existing fire. The Rashi says shekidam get l'dleka shekodma zrikas haget b'chotzer. Rashi adds a critical word: the throwing of the get came before the fire was put in the courtyard. Kodim shtei hadleka ba'avir hachotzer, before the fire was in the airspace of the chotzer. So, as is always the case in Gemara learning, it's very important not to restrict yourself to literal translations. In the Gemara text itself, it simply said Lo shonel shekidam get, where the get came before the fire. But the word get means the zrikas haget, the throwing of the get, preceded the appearance of the fire in the end. Rashi once again is extremely precise, where he says in the airspace of the chotzer, because the airspace of the chotzer is what is of concern to us, not the floor of the chutzner. As we indicated so many times already, under optimal circumstances, the divorce will take take effect when the get reaches merely the airspace of its destination without actually landing. Omar Rav Chisda, Rishuyos Chalukos Begitin. Without Rashi, this phrase would have no understanding to it. I want to say it would have no meaning, but obviously it has meaning, but it wouldn't be understandable. If a husband loaned us a location to his wife, let's say he said, you can have use of my chotzer. So the chotzer is under loan for the wife's uses. Rishuyos Chalukos means he's loaning to her chotzer, but not the use of his house, nor the use of the roof. The Gemara continues. Omar le Rami bar Chama le Rava, mino le Sabaha. Rami bar Chama asks Rava, where does Saba, in this case Saba is a reference to Rav Chisda, Saba meaning the elder, the sage, where does he, Rav Chisda, know that from? Notice we have a long answer. Omar le masnisin hi. So Rava answers that Rav Chisda could discover it from the Mishnah. Before we go further, when you scan ahead, you'll notice quite a few triangles appearing. On the side, under our Nosei / Mivneh heading, the triangle is featured, and we've written Shlavim. These represent stages, Lochiach Dino Sh'Rav Chisda Meha Mishnah, to prove Rav Chisda's ruling from the Mishnah, the Rishuyos Chalukos Begitin. His concept of Rishuyos Chalukos, the Ein Odom Mashilish Toshtei, the Shnei Mekoimois Be'oises Mana, a husband wouldn't loan to his wife two domains at one time. So now we continue with the Gemara. Omar Le Masnisini, Rova answers Rami Bar Chama's question. Well, it's our Mishnah. Hoysa Oimedes Al Rosh Hagag. Vizarkai law. This was the opening case of the Mishnah. She was standing on the rooftop, and he was down below, and he threw the get up to her. Kimon shigia get la'avir hagag hare zu megureshes. Once the get reaches the airspace of the roof, she is divorced. B'mai askinon. What are the technical circumstances here? You have with all we have to focus on a roof and courtyard. Who is the owner of these? He lema begag dida v'chotzer dida. If both the chotzer and the gag are her possessions or her domains, it's her, let's say, her property. Loma li avir hagag. Why do we have to wait for the get to reach the airspace of the roof? The chotzer is hers. The chotzer could acquire the get for her as well. Hello, begag didei v'chotzer didei. Well, maybe it's his roof and it's his courtyard. If that's the case, ki higia l'avir agag mayhave. So what? The get reaches the airspace of the roof. It's still in his domain, and we've repeated many times in recent shiurim that the idea behind the get is the transferal of the get from the husband's domain to the wife's domain. But if both the gag and the chotzer belong to him, it hasn't left his domain. So she's not divorced, and yet the Mishnah says that once it gets to the airspace of the gag, she does become divorced. Elo pshita. So rather, we'll have to say that the Mishnah is begag dida v'chotzer dide. The roof belongs to her, and the courtyard belongs to him. All right, let's assume that for the time being. Amos Seifal, continue reading the Mishnah. Now we would read the second example of the Mishnah. It's important to note for people who are relatively new students of Gemara learning that when the Mishnah presents examples, it's assumed there's consistency, that whatever the circumstances are for the first example, those same circumstances would continue throughout. The same is true with regard to speakers. Unless a name is specified, you assume that whoever opens up the Mishnah is also the same opinion representing the continuation of the Mishnah, as I say, in a case where there's no express name. This is the concept of consistency. So at this point, we're establishing that the Mishnah is where the roof is owned by her, and the chotzer, the courtyard, is owned by the husband. Amos Seifa. So we continue with the second example of the Mishnah. Hu milamalo, he's on the roof, he milamalo, and she's down below. Vizarka law, and he threw from the roof to the woman, wife, in the chotzer. Kevin shiotzim in shus hagag, once it leaves the airspace of the roof, even if nimchako nisraf harezu gureshes, even if it got erased or burnt, she is divorced. Now, how did we set up the Mishnah a moment ago? We said, the Gemara says, v'i begag dido v'chotzer didei, if the chotzer belongs to him, and in the second case of the Mishnah, she's down below in the chotzer. Well, if the chotzer belongs to him, am I megureshes? Why would she be considered divorced at that point? It's in the airspace of his domain. And as we've said already, that the get has to enter her domain in order for her to be divorced. Ella, so we have to say that the seifa of the Mishnah is begag didei v'chotzer dida. The rooftop is his, and the chotzer is hers, and she's waiting down below in the chotzer, and once it gets over the airspace of the chotzer, she is divorced. Okay, but that raises another question in light of what we said a few minutes ago. We have inconsistency. Reisha begag dida v'chotzer dida. In order to explain the reisha, we had to say that it was a case that where the roof belonged to her and the chotzer belonged to him. Seifa begag dida v'chotzer dida. And the seifa were changing the circumstances and we're saying the roof belongs to him and the chotzer belongs to her. We don't like that. That represents inconsistency. Elo lav, so rather we have to say that the circumstances of the Mishnah are something else. The Oishla Mokom. In the land registry, let's just say everything belonged to the husband. The roof and the courtyard. However, the husband was mashiel her. He loaned to her the rights to a location, to a spot. The chad mokom moshli inchi trei mekomos lo moshli inchi. The woman was given the rights to use the area in which she was located. So she is then considered the temporary owner of the domain in which she is found. And from the Mishnah you can see she's granted one domain, not both domains, not two domains. And with that, then, we've shown from the Mishnah, we have consistency in the Reish and the Seifa, and in order to achieve that consistency, we have to offer an explanation that illustrates that which Rav Chisda said. In other words, Rav Chisda developed his idea of Rishuyos Chalukos Begitin from the necessary explanation needed to clarify the Mishnah. The Gemara rejects this. Amar Lei Midi Irya. Who says that we have to lock ourselves necessarily into a one consistent example for the entire Mishnah? Dilma ha-kedi-isa v'ha-kedi-isa. Maybe it, the reisha, is as it is, and the seifa is at as it is. Namely, reisha is begag dida v'chotzer dida, seifa begag dida v'chotzer dida. How many places would a person have if he loaned her a location, we wouldn't be able to say definitively that only she gets only one place when he loans her something. The Rashi points this out. You notice we have a Rashi with a star in it, Seifa begag didei v'chotzer dida. Rashi says, Migrusha if you have the seifa where the gag, the roof is his, and the chotzer and the courtyard is hers, migrusha ba'avir chotzer. She'll be divorced when the get reaches the airspace of the chotzer. Aval itra vayu didei, if both belong to the husband, the oishla mokom, and he loaned to her use of a location, ema loch de lo kapid, then I could tell you he wouldn't be makbid. He wouldn't be insistent on only one location. Omar Rava, Shalosh Midos Begitin. This is again an expression that needs clarification. Literally, I mean, there are three characteristics with regard to divorces. On the side of the Gemara, where we introduce the bow tie shape, which you will shortly see in the Gemara, the Mivneh heading says, Gimel Halachas, there are three laws, Shebohen Gittin Shoinin Mishar Isurim, where you see that we view divorces differently than other areas of prohibition in law. That will become much clearer as we go through the examples. Number one, we continue with the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Ha D'Yomar Rebbe, this is what we mentioned earlier, Rebbe's Shita, Rebbe's opinion on Shabbos, the Kluto Kami Shehuncha, Opligi Rabbanon Olei. Rebbe said that when an item is caught within the airspace of that of a particular domain, it's considered as if it has landed there, and the rabbis disagree with Rebbe. Hani Mili, their disagreement is limited l'inyan Shabbos. It's only with regard to the laws of Shabbos, as we explained earlier. Avol Hocha, but here with regard to divorce, Mishum Inturihu, the consideration is not landing. The consideration is safekeeping. The Ha Mintar, and once the get is contained within the airspace of a fenced in area, even without actual landing, the rabbis will agree it's as if it has landed. The Ha D'Amar Rav Chisda, number two. Rav Chisda, also, you'll see in a moment, dealing with the laws of Shabbos, Rav Chisda says, Noatz kona b'rishus ha'yochid u'b'roish shetraskel. A person wedged into a private domain, a pole, a kona, a reed, a pole, that extends a very, very tall pole, higher than the fence surrounding the private domain in which this pole is being erected. And on the top of the pole, Uberosh Traskel, on the top of the pole, there is a basket. Vizorak Vinoch Al Gabov. And a person was standing outside in a public thoroughfare, and threw something, and it landed on the top of this kona. Afilu Dvoa Me'ama. Even if the pole is 100 amas tall, Chayav, the one who threw it, is guilty. Guilty of a Shabbos violation. Lefi shirishus hayochet oyle ad lurakia. Because the concept of a private domain is such that it extends all the way heavenwards. Hani mili le'inyan Shabbos. Landing of this, of whatever object was thrown to the top of the pole, is considered as if it has landed on the ground, even though it's way up there on the top of this high pole. That's true only with regard to the laws of Shabbos. Aval hocha, but with regard to a divorce, mishum inturihu, our concern is the item in safekeeping. And if you have the courtyard belonged to the woman, and the man stood outside in the public thoroughfare and threw the get, and it landed on the top of this pole. The holo mintar, the get, when it lands on the top of this pole, is not in safe keeping. Before we go any further, I want to make a slight, observation, which involves focusing on the example of this pole positioned in the private domain. In our Gemara text, we had read with it said Uvarosha Traskel. However, in Masechet Shabbos Daf Zayin Omid Aleph, those words don't appear. We had translated it a few minutes ago that on the top of the pole there was a basket. However, it would be easier for us to understand this Gemara with just imagining a simple, a very tall pole. It might have a flat surface, something could land on it, as is the case with regard to Hilchos Shabbos. But there at the top of the pole, which extends way above the fence surrounding the chotzer, even if the chotzer is hers, we will see shortly that she will not be divorced. So let's read again Rav Chisto's teaching of second line from the bottom of the Gemara, Noatz Kona Brishus HaYochid, and here we're going to skip. V'zorak V'nocha Gabov. A pole was wedged into, was erected in a private domain, and someone stood outside in a public thoroughfare and threw something, and it landed on the top of the pole. So afilu gavoa me'o amo, even if the pole is 100 amas tall, a very tall pole extending way beyond the surrounding fence of the chotzer, chayov lefi shirshus hayochid oyv l'rakia, he is guilty of transferring something from one domain to another, from the public domain in which he was standing, landing on the top of the pole, which is considered a private domain, because a private domain is considered rising all the way to the heavens. But Hani Mili, the Inyan Shabbos, landing on the top of the pole is considered as if it landed on the ground. That's true with regard to the laws of Shabbos, Aval Hocha, but with regard to a divorce, Mishum Inturihu, the consideration is being guarded. V'holo Minter, there at the top of the pole, it's not in safekeeping. It could be easily blown away, and you don't have surrounding walls of the chotzer to protect it, being that the pole is so much higher. So that even if the chotzer belonged to the woman, she would not be divorced. So that was our second, say, point of contrast. Notice, by the way, that in example one, we mentioned that in the case of Gittin as opposed to Shabbos, there would be agreement in the direction of Vahon Mintar. There it was watched in the first example, and it was in safekeeping, and in this example, it is not in safekeeping, because, of course, the different circumstances. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, the Hal Yom Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. This is also within the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. Lo yamoid odom begag ze v'yiklot megishomim migagoy shel chavero. We have an illustration on the side in the margin. It describes shnei gagim hasmuchim, two rooftops that are next to one another. There we have two houses. And each house, the houses are attached to one another. There are two roofs, and in Hilchos Shabbos we say that the two roofs, even though there's no wall between them, even though it's considered one straightaway when you're on the top, nevertheless you're not supposed to stand on one roof and draw water, draw rainwater from the other roof. There's a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition of carrying items from one person's domain to another person's domain. Rashi on the top line says, "V'hodim Rav Yehuda lo yamud odom al gagoy v'yiklot megishamim hatsofim that are floating al gagoy shel chavero davi moitzi mirshus lirshus." It's considered transferal from one private domain to another. Im lo irvu, if they didn't make an eruv chatzeris. An eruv chatzeris is a legal instrument to join together disparate private domains. Shafalpi she'enam dorim al agagos, even though they're not actually dwelling on the rooftops. So there was room to think that it's just one single private domain. Nevertheless, Shayach Nami Bu Isu Chiluk Rishus, the concept of division of property applies to the rooftops as well. What we're referring to, if you're not familiar, then understand that these are very broad topics that are explained in great detail in Maseches Eruvin and also in Maseches Shabbos. So take what we're saying at face value for right now, that there is a rabbinic prohibition transferring from one private domain to another. Of course, on a Torah level, that is not a violation, because on a Torah level, only going from one type of domain to another, private to public or public to private, would constitute a violation. But on a rabbinic level, this also represents a problem. So Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says that a person shouldn't stand on the rooftop belonging to one person and draw water from the rooftop over someone else's domicile. And we continue in the Gemara. Kishem shediyurin chalukin milamato, just like there are the distinct dwellings below, kach diyurin chalukin milamala. So too, the distinction in dwelling applies above as well. And Rashi pointed out, even though they don't actually dwell there, the legal differentiation or distinction or division applies above as well. Now that this whole concept of different reshuyos is true hani milin inyan Shabbos, that has validity or applicability to Shabbos. Aval inyan get, but with regard to divorce, let us say that the husband owned two rooftops that are next to one another, and the husband loaned the use of, let's say, of one rooftop to his wife. She would be expected to stand on one rooftop in anticipation of receiving the get, and the get was thrown up and it landed on the second rooftop. So you might have thought, without this statement, well, in Hilchas Shabbos, the rooftop that was loaned to her is hers and the other rooftop is his. They're considered disparate domains, and the get landing on the second rooftop, the one that wasn't loaned to her, would not in effect be reason for divorce. So here Rav Yehuda points out that when it comes to the laws of get, mishum kepedahu, it has to do with a person being particular, being insistent and restrictive. Kepeda is a word that I find a little difficult to translate into English, but it has to do with a person's particularness, his unwillingness to compromise. Nevertheless, when it comes to get, that is the consideration. Is there kepeda? Is the person particular? The kule hai lo kap di inchi. And people are not that particular. Hence, when it came to when it comes to the case of get, and the husband loaned her the use of one rooftop, his loaning to her the use of that particular rooftop is not to the exclusion of the other rooftop. Therefore, if the get is thrown and it lands on the adjacent gag, she will be divorced. Even though, technically speaking, it didn't land on that particular roof that was loaned to her. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, and it reads, Shnei Mikrim, Vehevdel Beinehem. There are two cases with a distinction between them. First, Shnei Chatzeros, two courtyards. We have a Pnimi Shelo, the inner courtyard belonging to her, the Chitzona Shelo, and the outer courtyard belonging to him, the husband. The second case, shnei kupos, two boxes. Panimi shelo, the inner one belonging to her. The chitzona shelo, and the outer one belonging to him. Of course, these examples will involve the case of a get being thrown to her. The Gemara, Omar Abaye, shtei chatzeros zu lifnim mizu. Two courtyards, one located, contained within the other. Panim is shelo v'chitzona shelo, the inner one belonging to the woman, the outer one, the surrounding one, belonging to the husband. U'mechitzos achitzaynes oidvois al ha'pnimios. The wall or fence surrounding the outer courtyard, those fences, those mechitzos, are higher, they're taller or higher than whatever fences are surrounding the inner courtyard. Vizorkoi lo, and the husband standing outside the courtyards, standing in the street, and threw the get toward the woman. We'll say toward the woman or toward the woman's inner courtyard. Kevon shigia l'avir mechitzos hachitzonos. Hachitzona, this is what we want to emphasize. The chiddush here is this word, hachitzona. Once the get reaches the airspace of the outer courtyard, Hare zu megureshes, she is divorced. My time off. Why, by reaching the airspace of the outer courtyard with its high wall, why is that the moment of her divorce? Answer. Pnimis gufa, the inner courtyard, b'mechitzos hachitzene kamintera. The inner courtyard is guarded, it benefits from those tall walls of the outer courtyard. So that the way Rashi presents it, just a couple lines up, let's read the Rashi, very short Rashi. He says, regila lishtamer, the inner courtyard benefits on a regular basis from the tall outer walls. Hilkach mishu'abodos hein la v'konu la. Therefore, those outer walls are in service of, are beholden to, are bound to that inner courtyard. And therefore, those outer walls, once the get reaches the airspace within those outer walls, it's considered as if it has landed in her domain. And this whole illustration or case is mashen kein bekupos, which is not the case with regard to boxes. Shtei kupos zu besof zu, two boxes, one contained within the other. Pnimis shelo v'chitzona shelo. Imagine a refrigerator box and a shoe box placed within the refrigerator box. The outer one belongs to him, the inner one belongs to her, the shoe box is hers. Vizorkula, and a get was thrown to her. To her, meaning to the, we'll say, to the shoebox, just for illustration purposes. Obviously, if you want to set up this case with the woman actually present there, you'd have to have something larger than a shoebox, but you got the idea. The small box is contained within the large box, and the Gemara rules, afilu higia la'avir pnimis, even if the get reaches the airspace of that inner box, Eino megureshes, reaching the airspace of the inner box does not constitute divorce. My time, why not? Answer, daha lo noch, because it didn't land there yet. Now you might be asking, since when is the landing such an important consideration? So Rashi answers. Let's take a look at the Rashi together. Daha lo noch. The walls of a vessel are not the same as the walls of a courtyard. The walls of a vessel, of a box, are not designed for, we'll say, for guarding purposes. The purpose of a vessel is to contain things that are placed in it. So when you put things in the vessel, obviously you put things in the bottom of the vessel. The floor of the vessel is the ikur, the main element of the vessel. It's true that when things get piled up upon the lowest level, so it goes higher and higher, and it's contained within the walls. But that's only because things had reached the bottom first. So the role of a vessel with its of a box with its walls is different than a courtyard with its walls. When you're dealing with a courtyard, people have things that are suspended in the airspace of the courtyard as well. And the owner of the courtyard has comfort knowing that his courtyard is surrounded by walls. So airspace in a courtyard is of primary importance. Not so when you're dealing with a box. This gives rise to another very brief question and answer. The issue raised in this next analysis is something that we discussed extensively in our previous shiurim. The Gemara continues and says, "V'chi noch mai have," and with regard to the box, the inner box and the outer box, and if it would have actually, if the get would have landed on the bottom of that inner box that belonged to her, are you saying then that she would have been divorced? Well, how can you say that, though? Kalev shelokeach b'shus mochin hu. You have a case of the vessel owned by the lokeach, literally the purchaser, or the woman in this case, the one who is to acquire, but it's contained within the domain of the mocher, the seller, or in this case, the husband who is providing the get. And we've pointed out many times, and it's discussed in other masechtas as well, that who says that the vessel of the lokeach, of the receiver, has the power of acquisition when it's contained within the domain of the seller? It doesn't have the ability to gain its own identity as that of the receiver. So as we're asking now, who is to say that even if the get would actually land on the floor of the box, the inner box belonging to her, that she would be divorced? And nevertheless, that's what you implied when you said that the restriction to the divorce, or the limitation, is only with regard to the airspace of the inner box, suggesting that landing in the inner box, she would have been divorced. Is that nevertheless still problematic because of this case, because of the concept of Kalev Shelokeach Rishus Mocher? The Gemara says, here, with regard to the boxes, we're not involved with an example of Kalev Shelokeach Brishus Mocher. Why? Bekupa She'ein Lo Shulayim. That outer box, remember the refrigerator box? That big box? It doesn't have a bottom to it. Just has four sides. So the inner box is sitting on the floor not belonging to anybody. Doesn't belong. The outer box doesn't have a bottom to it, so the inner box is sitting on the ground, which doesn't belong to the husband in this particular case. And therefore, if it would have landed in her box, which is sitting on the ground that doesn't belong to the husband, she would have been divorced as far as this sugya is concerned. Now, the Mishnah. Before we go ahead in the text, we have a brief topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Machlokes b'shamayis Hillel, im mutar legaresh beget yoshan. We'll see a Tanaic disagreement between Beis Shammai and Hillel. Is a man allowed to use a get yoshan? Technically, or if you want to translate this literally, it means an old get. What do we mean by that, an old get? We've discussed this quite extensively throughout the Masechta. If you're a first-time listener, though, we're describing a case where a get is written up, and when you write a get, you put a date in it, And yet the delivery of the get might not be immediate. It might be given to her a long time afterwards. During that interim period, obviously she's still a married woman. The husband might actually have intimacy with her, and she might conceive and give birth 9 months later after their intimacy. And then, eventually he divorces her using that get with the date that was written quite a long time ago. And when I say long time ago, I'm trying simply to emphasize that it was written considerably before their act of intimacy. When people look back in time, when the child is born, the woman will have already been divorced, and they will calculate, well, this kid was born from a conception that took place 9 months ago. The date in the child's mother's divorce was way before, might have been 2 years ago, when the husband initially wrote up the get. Now, we know the child was conceived through a married couple. Her divorce, her actual divorce, took place only after she already had conceived. But the public doesn't know that. In other words, the public looks at what they see in front of them. They see a child born. They see he's born from a woman that is right now divorced. And they see the date in her divorce document dating way before the child was ever conceived, giving grounds to think that the child was conceived in a non-married or out of wedlock situation. And that's not viewed positively. It's not viewed kindly, as the Rashi will tell you. It's viewed b'gnai. It's considered a gnai. It's disparaging. Now the Mishnah. Beishamay omrim poter adam ishto beget yoshan. A person can divorce his wife with a get yoshan. And as we said before, it's a get that has a that was written quite a long time ago, and the date in the get is in accordance with the time that it was written. Beis Hillel Osrin. Beis Hillel says you can't use such a get. Beizu get yoshan. What is meant by a get yoshan? Kol shenis yachid imo me'achar shikos v'lo. Any situation where the husband had been in private with his wife after he wrote the get. The mere writing of the get doesn't constitute a divorce. So he wrote the get. He's still married. He didn't decide to give it to her till quite a while later. In the meantime, he was in private with her. And when we speak about being in private, we consider that they had intimacy as well, which could very well lead to conception and the problem that we described before. B'mai komifligi. What is the basis of this controversy? B'shamai savri lo amrinon. We don't say, in other words, we don't consider, we don't worry about the following. Gzeiro shemo yomru gito kaidim livna. That to restrict the use of a get yoshin, because people might say that the divorce, the get, the divorce took place before the child was conceived. If we look at Rashi, Gita Kodem Livno, Shemo Yashe Esaget Shnatayim V'Sholosh. Hey, husband might delay in giving the get 2-3 years. Bank Sivan is seen between the writing of the get and the giving of it to his wife, Yula Bonem Imenu, and she'll in the interim have born children from him, conceived and were born. Besochazman within that 2-3 year time frame. Viachakachi Gushenu Bo, and then after 3 years he gives her that very get that he wrote 3 years earlier with its date 3 years ago. Uliyomim kishi yishtaka hadavar, and later when time passes and people discover this, yiruzman haget kodim leidas haben, they'll discover that the date in the divorce, it's 3 years ago, there is a get that was written, and the people will assume it was given to her, and that 3 years ago is way before this 1 year old child. V'yusvurim shenitan lo mishas ksiva. People will think that it was given to her from the time of the writing. That's the key element here. Nitan lo, given at the time of the writing. V'yomru, and then people will say, well, if it was given at the time of writing, it means she was divorced 3 years ago. Here she has a one-year-old child. People say, min ha'pnuyu nolad, mishigirsha v'avi pagam. They'll say it came from a pnuyu, means an unmarried woman who conceived and birthed a child, and that's a pagam. That is a negative thing. It's degrading. We turn back to the Gemara. Ubeis Hillel Savri. Beis Hillel, who restricted the use of the get yoshan, Amri, say, Gezeira Shema Yomru Gito Kodem Livna. As we just saw in the Rashi, that is of concern to Beis Hillel. And therefore, if he wrote a get and was in private with her after that writing, don't use the get. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Shmuel, im niseis loy seitse. The Aleph is anticipation of what we see now, the Ikod Yamri, a second version, but the first version of Rabbi Abba says that if she got married with the get yoshan, Beis Hillel says she shouldn't have she shouldn't have been divorced with such a get. Well, but she was given the get yoshan, and she married a second husband. Lo teise, she is not to leave that second husband. In other words, she's considered divorced. It's effective, and we're not going to upset her remarriage, her second marriage. The Ikar D'Amri, another version of Rabbi Abba's, of Rabbi Abba Mishmuel, im nisgarsha, if she was divorced with a get yoshan, and the husband went abroad, the husband that divorced her is no longer around, tino se lechatchila, she can marry a second man without any hesitation. Lechatchila means as a first choice, being that the husband who is not around anymore to write up a new get and give it to her, so she has no other choice, so she can marry a second husband lechatchila. At this point, we start a Mishnah. You'll notice, if you scan ahead, this is a rather long Mishnah, carrying us down till the almost halfway down, Pei Omid Aleph. The Mishnahs, we should point out, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, on the side, which reads, Dinei Ha'isha Sheniseis L'Sheni Beget She'enoi Kosuv Kedin. The laws that apply to a woman that marries a second husband, having received a get that wasn't written, let's say, 100% properly. Obviously, you might jump to a conclusion. What do you mean? If it wasn't written properly, she's not divorced. Well, we'll wait and see examples in the Mishnah. Let's go to the Mishnah. Kosav l'shul malchus she'ena hogenes. Let us assume that the Mishnah, the case of the Mishnah is in the time of the Jewish exile in Bavel, Babylonia. At the time of the Mishnah, just historically, you'll see what we're saying now is really based on what we'll see later in the Gemara. But in anticipation of the Gemara, we're setting up the case of a Jewish divorce taking place in the area that was called Bavel. As this recording is being made, you can imagine it's the area that is labeled as Iraq. At that time that there was a Jewish exile in Babylonia, I'm not talking about the initial exile of the Jews in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, but at the time of the Mishnah, there was a large community there in Bavel. At the same time, the Roman Empire had extensive control over its countries, its subjects, which covered large sections of Europe and and North Africa, the Roman Empire. So now the Mishnah says Kosav Lashul Malchus Sheino Genes. When you write a get, there's a certain expectation that you date it in accordance with the king or the emperor, how many years into the rulership of that particular emperor. So if you're in Bavel, the expectation would be you're going to date the get, that this get is written on the 23rd, in the 23rd year of the Babylonian ruler. But he didn't do that. He wrote the get, Kosav Lashul Malchus Sheino Genes. The Gemara will ask, what does that phrase mean? Literally, it is the written in the name or dated in accordance with the Malchus, the empire, the kingdom, Sheino Genes, that's improper, that's incorrect, improper. Hogein means something that's proper. Eino Genes, something means improper. The Gemara will ask, what is that a reference to? What's the Malchus Sheino Genes? The Gemara will reveal to us that it's Rome. Why it's called Eino Genes, so the Gemara will explain that later. Other examples. You're in Bavel, and you wrote and dated the get, L'shul Malchus Modai, L'shul Malchus Yavon. Historically speaking, these are empires that no longer existed. When the Mishnah in accordance with the Mishnah's presentation, Rome succeeded the Greek Empire, who in turn had succeeded the Persian, the Modai Median Persian Empire. So, nevertheless, he dated the get written in Bavel based on the how many years it has been since the Medes ruled, or since the Greeks ruled. The problem here, once again, is you're supposed to write and date your get in accordance with the kingdom in which the get is being written. Labinyan Habayis, Lechurban Habayis, or the date used in the get was how many years since the building of the Beis HaMikdash, or how many years since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see that in all of these cases, the get is pasul. Other examples. Hoya b'mizrach v'kosa b'marov. He wrote the get in the east, and he indicated that it was written in the west. B'marov v'kosa b'mizrach, or vice versa. And the woman used this get, any of the examples above, she used it and married a second husband. Teitse mizeh umizeh. She must leave the second husband, and she's forbidden to the first husband. She's viewed, why is she forbidden to the first husband? Because she's viewed as a married woman that had relations with a second man, with another man. She's not considered divorced from the first husband, but she can't go back either, because of what we just said, a married woman having relations with another man. Utsricha get mizeh umizeh. And she requires a divorce from both men. V'ein law, and as a result of, okay, this violation, she loses out on rights that a married woman ordinarily is entitled to. She loses out, and there's a list of things. Lo ksuba, she doesn't receive her ksuba, the standard financial guarantee that a woman who is divorced would receive. Velo peros, the Gemara will explain that. We look at Rashi, he says, velo peros, din peros, the law of peros. Shetiknu law leisha pirkono mishvia tachas peros. In exchange for fruit rights that a husband has from properties that she brings into the marriage. A woman may bring what we call nichsei malug, properties into a marriage. The husband has peros, has the rights to all profits realized from her properties. The husband receives those fruit rights, those profit rights, in exchange for the fact that he is obligated to redeem her from captivity. So when the Mishnah says she doesn't have peros, that means that these men, these husbands, are not obligated to redeem her from captivity. We continue, velo mizonos. She doesn't receive support, food support. V'lo blois. She may have brought into the marriage articles of clothing. In the course of time, they get worn out, and we say that when a woman is divorced, she gets to take the worn out garments that she had brought into the marriage. This includes, by the way, garments that she brought in. She may have brought in even men's suits that he would wear, and they get worn out. She does not get those worn out items. That's v'lo blois. V'lo alzeh. Not from either one. Not from first husband, not from second husband. Im not lo mizeh o mizeh, tachzir. And if she took from this one or that one, she must return. V'havlad mamzer mizeh o mizeh. And children that she had afterwards, she had with the second man, those children are mamzer. They're considered, called in English, they're illegitimate. A child like that cannot marry into the Jewish community. And if the first husband took her back and bore a child, that child would also be considered a mamzer. Rashi elaborates, the first husband, being that she was never really divorced, technically speaking, could have taken her back, but nevertheless, it's considered a mamzer midrabbanan, a rabbinic. He has mamzer status on a rabbinic level. V'lo zeh v'zeh mitamin law. If the husbands here were kohanim, a kohen has the right to defile himself, even though in general a kohen cannot defile himself to the dead. If a kohen's wife died, he attends the funeral. He's mitamin to her, defiles himself to her. Not so in this case. V'lo zeh v'zeh zakoyin. These men are not entitled lo b'mitziyasa to items she finds. V'lo b'mayis yodeo. They're not entitled to profits she produces from work. V'lo b'haforas nedorea. No, nor are they entitled to annul her vows, as in distinction to a regular kosher marriage where a husband, upon hearing of her vow, he has the right to annul it if he does so immediately. Hoysa bas Yisrael nifselas minakuna. If the woman here who had received the problematic get described above, any of those described above, was a bas Yisrael, she was from a non-Kohen family, nifselas minakuna, she cannot marry a Kohen. Being that she had intimacy with a second man while she was still considered married to the first husband, having him received an improper get, she's considered a zona. Zona is a word that has there's a common translation to the word, which we're not going to say now, but there's the Torah use of the word zona, and that indicates the stam zona in the Torah is the reference to a married woman that had relations with another man. So, if the woman here was a Bas Yisrael, she can never marry, and she at this point is forbidden permanently to marry into the Kuna. Kohanim, just like they're prohibited marrying divorced women, they're prohibited in marrying women that were labeled as a Zona, as we just described. We continue at the top of Daf Pei. Bas Levi, Min HaMaiser. If the woman that received the problematic get and then had married a second husband was the daughter of a Levi, she can no longer receive Maiser Rishon. She can no longer partake of Maiser Rishon, which is the tithe given to Levium. If things were kosher, if things were done, were okay, so the daughter of a Levi obviously is entitled, while she's the daughter of a Levi is entitled to eat Maisers, but not so in this case. Bas Kohen min HaTruma. If the woman here was the daughter of a Kohen, she cannot partake of Truma because of what had happened. V'ein Yorshin Shel Zeh, V'Yorshin Shel Zeh, Yorshin Subasa. This expression requires clarification because here there's reference to the children that she produced from this one, from that one, are not entitled to inherit her ksuba. We mentioned before she doesn't have a ksuba in the first place. So this needs explanation. What does it mean they don't inherit her ksuba? But we'll leave that aside for now. V'imesu, if these husbands die, husband number one and husband number two, if they died without any children. Ochiv shelzeh v'ochiv shelzeh cholzin v'lo mi'avnin. The surviving brothers of these respective men will participate in the chalitza ceremony, the shoe removal ceremony, which releases her from the yibum bond, but neither one of these brothers can marry her. It's not clear to us. She doesn't have straightforward widow status. Only a woman who has clear widow status would do yibum. Not so in the case that we saw before. Shino shmo ushmo shemi ro v'shemi ro. If the get was written with a change in either his name wasn't recorded accurately, or her name, or the name of his city or her city, which are supposed to be recorded, and there was some change, the names were not recorded accurately, and she received such a get, married a second man, teitzei mizeh umizeh, she must leave. The second man cannot return to the first husband either. V'chol hadrochim o'elu bo, and all of the above mentioned restrictions apply here as well. We have a lettering system. On the side of the Gemara, we feature these letters, Aleph and Beis, that you see in diamonds. Shtei dugmois shel inyone yibum. Two examples that are related to the topic of yibum. The levirate marriage, the gloi milsa, that things became clarified, shahoisa islandis, that the woman in question was discovered to have been an islandis. In other words, when she initially got married, she was thought to be a regular, healthy female. But as time went on, it became clear that she is an islandis, a woman who doesn't mature in a normal physiological fashion. She's incapable of bearing children. Ordinarily, a person, unless he knew at the outset that that's what she was, if he discovered later on that she, a woman that he thought was healthy, turns out to be an islandess, that's grounds for departing, from separating, on the grounds we call a mekaftos, a mistake in the initial marriage. So we have two cases. Where we say that are related to Yibum, where it became clear that she was an islandess. U'b'chol zois lo nuchal l'kayim ha'yibum im tzorasa. The Yibum marriage will not be able to be fulfilled with the islandess's co-wife. So even though in standard procedure, if a man is married to two women and he dies without children, so one of the two women would do Yibum, the other one doesn't do Yibum. You do Yibum, you do the levirate marriage, the surviving brother marries only one of the widows. Now, we turn to the Mishnah and we'll try to clarify these cases in a more tangible fashion as we go through the text. The Mishnah continues, Kol Arayas Shomru Tzorosen Mutoros. The beginning of Maseches Yevomos has 15 forbidden relations whereby the co-wife would be exempted from Yibum altogether. Let's use just one example to keep things as simple as possible. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon, let us say, had a daughter. Reuven, his brother, married a woman, and he married his niece. He had two wives. Reuven dies. There are two women that are now widows, and Reuven died leaving no children. Shimon, his surviving brother, according to the Mishnah in Yevomos, Shimon, the surviving brother, does not do any Yibum. Obviously, he's not going to marry his own daughter, which was Reuven's niece. And as a result of Reuven being married to Shimon's daughter, the co-wife is also exempted from Yibum. That's what this phrase means. Arayas Shomut Sosen Mutoros. Those forbidden relatives that exempt the co-wife from Yibum as well. Well, let's continue with this Mishnah, with the Mishnah. Holchu Hatsoro So'elu V'nisu. Reuven's co-wife, meaning not Shimon's daughter, the other woman. She went, being that she's exempt from Yibum, she doesn't have to marry Shimon, she's not allowed to marry Shimon. She went and married Dave. V'nimsu Elu Ilinus. And then it turns out that Shimon's daughter, who had been Reuven's wife, Shimon's daughter turns out to be an Ilinus. Now, an Ilinus, as we said, is a woman incapable of bearing children, and such a marriage, if you don't know ahead of time that she is an Ilinus, such a marriage is considered voided. It's not even subject to giving a divorce. It's simply never, how, legally speaking, it never took place. We call that a mekachtos, a mistaken acquisition. Well, in the meantime, so if that's the case, so we ask ourselves, was Reuven ever even married to Shimon's daughter? No. Reuven then had only one wife, legally speaking. If that's the case, if Reuven had only one wife, she was really, upon Reuven's death, she's bound to marry Shimon. She shouldn't have gone and married in our case, Dave. What does the Mishnah say? In such a case, Teitse Mizeo Mizeh. She leaves Dave. She cannot marry Shimon either, the Yavam. The Chol HaDrachim Oeilubon, all of the above mentioned restrictions and losses and fines apply here as well. We take a look at Rashi, just a couple lines down from here. V'nimtzu ha'arayas, the forbidden relatives in our case was Shimon's daughter, was nimtzu arayas ailinus. V'gloi milsa shoyu kidushe hames betos. And retroactively then, we see that Reuven's marriage to the forbidden relative, forbidden obviously to Shimon, that the marriage Reuven had with Shimon's daughter was a mistaken marriage. The result of that is that the other woman wasn't the co-wife of an erva. She wasn't the co-wife of Shimon's daughter, of a forbidden relative to Shimon. And therefore, those arayas, again, Shimon's daughter does not provide an exemption from Yibum of the co-wife. And as we said, in such a case where the co-wife had gone ahead in the meantime before discovering that the daughter of Shimon was an Ilinus, in the meantime she went and married a husband thinking she was free to marry, upon discovery of the Erevah's, the forbidden relative's, Ilinus status, she shouldn't have married that second man. She leaves him, she must leave him, and she is not allowed to do Yibum either. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Hakoine says Yevimto, Vaholchot Sorosa, Venises Liacher. A man did Yibum. And as we said before, when the using our names, we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven had two wives. And they were two unrelated women. Shimon marries one of them. So Shimon did Yibum with one of them. We're not dealing with an Arias case right now. The co-wife went ahead. She was free then. She went and married some outsider. And the woman that Shimon married, that one of those two widows that Reuven left, it turned out the one that was married by Shimon through Yibum was an Ilinus. So once again, everything is off. It's as if Yibum wasn't done at all. It's, in fact, Reuven was never even married to her. So when Reuven died, he left only one wife. And that one woman, in the meantime, married someone else. Teitse mizeh umizeh. That co-wife has to leave the outside, the new husband, and she cannot do Yibum. The Chol HaDrachim Ha'Yibum, and all of the above-mentioned losses are applicable here too. Kosav, and here we have a totally new case. Kosav Sofer Get Leish. A man was anticipating divorcing his wife. He hired a scribe to write a get. So the scribe wrote the get on behalf of the husband. When a husband divorces his wife, he pays her a ksuba. He pays money to the woman. What guarantee does the husband have that he won't be charged a second time for money that he paid to her? Well, he gets a receipt. That's the shovar. A woman then anticipates needing a receipt to give to her husband. So the scribe prepared a shovar leisha. Two documents were prepared, a get and a receipt. Vita'a, and the scribe erred, v'nosan get leisha, v'shovar leish. And the scribe put in a large brown envelope the get, and he gave the get to the woman, and he gave the receipt to the man. And they didn't bother opening up the envelope and reading what was in, each one thinking that what they had was what they ordered. So in the meantime, you have the woman holding a divorce document that was given to her by the scribe. The nosnu ze lo ze, and each one gave their respective envelopes to the other one. So what do you have here? Uliachar zman, and after a while, lo and behold, hare haget yoytzi mi'aroish, the man is holding the get, the woman, the wife having given him the get, v'shovar mi'aroisha, and the woman is holding the receipt. Teitse, and I think we have to assume that the woman in the meantime, after having received the envelope from the husband, she received in effect a receipt. She didn't receive a get from him. She went and married a second man. We say Teitse mizeh umizeh. She has to leave the second husband, and she's forbidden to go back to her first husband. And everything that we mentioned above applies here too. All the losses. Rebbe Elozer Omer, Im La'alter, Yotza, Ein Zeget. Here we'll translate. Gemara will explain the details. But if this mistake was discovered immediately, so then Ein Zeget. It's not considered, she's not considered divorced. However, if it appeared only after a while, im la'achar zman yotza, a while went by and they decided to open up their envelopes, and the discovery of the mistake took place a long time afterwards. Hare ze get. We are going to assume that the husband actually had received the get from the scribe and gave it to his wife, and she was divorced. Lo kol heimenu min harishon la'abed zchuso shel hasheni. The husband can't now, after such a long time passed, and only now they're discovering that, let's say, the husband is holding on to the get. He can't say wave the get in front of us, saying that, well, I never gave it to her, and thereby prohibit her to the second husband that she had married. Rashi adds here, you notice on the lower part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, La'abed zchuso shel sheni, shenosa, the second man that married her. De'amrinon, we assume, knunyo hi beinehem, there's some kind of scheme between them, v'chlifu hashtoros li'achar shenisis. And after she married the second husband, so the first husband exchanged with the wife their respective documents that were given properly. And now the husband is holding on to her get, and she is holding on to the receipt, and claiming that, we were never divorced, and the result of that would be to prohibit her to the second man. So we say we don't buy into all of that. As the Mishnah says, she doesn't have the lo kolei menu min harishon, the first one can't cause a loss to the second man, to the husband that she married. The Gemara, my malchus sheino hogenes. What do we mean by the malchus sheino hogenes that opened up the Mishnah? Answer, malchus haromoyim. We already mentioned this before. The man was in Bavel and he dated the get according to the number of years since the recent Roman emperor assumed his throne. So we said in the Mishnah, we saw that that's that renders the get invalid. My kori law malchus sheino hogenes. Why is Rome referred to as the improper kingdom? Answer: Mishum di ein law lo ksav v'lo lashon. Rome did not have their own script nor their own language. Whatever as we call, like, assuming that we can make reference to Latin. I don't guarantee this to be the absolute correct explanation, but for the sake of illustration, assuming that Latin was the language of the Romans, that language and the script used was really not something that they originated, but rather it's something that came from others. And therefore, since they don't have originality, they're called Malchus Sheino Hogenes. Omar Ula, mitnei ma tokinu malchus begitin. Why was it established that when dating a get, you have to indicate the date in accordance with the number of years since the local emperor assumed his throne? Why is that important? Why is it? So the more answer is why was that instituted? Mishum shalom malchus. Well, the purpose of peaceful relations between the Jewish community and the local governing authority. I say local, meaning the country, the state in which you dwell. Rashi explains, Mishum Sholom Machus, Sheilonu Sholom Imam. So the Jewish community should be at peace with the governing secular authority. Sheyomru, the Gentiles, the rulers will say, Chashuvim anu beinam, we are important in the eyes of the Jews. Shekaisvin shtosem bishmenu, that they write their documents in our name. That would be a source of, we'll say flattery to the be flattering to the Gentile authorities, and that will induce peaceful relations. The Gemara continues with a question. Umishum shalom machas, because of a violation in not recording the malchus element, the government element in a get, are you saying that if she marries a second husband as a result of receiving an improperly malchus dated get, teitzei v'avlad mamzer, she has to leave the second husband and any children that she had with him are considered mamzerim? After all, this is only a rabbinic institution to create peaceful relations. It's not part of the essential elements of a divorce document. She'd be, on a total level, she'd be considered divorced even without recording the years since the local ruler assumed authority. And yet you're saying that even though she received a proper get on a Torah level, the child will be considered a mamzer on a Torah level. The Gemara says, yes, we are saying that. Rabbi Meir, Latame Rabbi Meir, even though his name didn't appear, we have an unnamed Mishnah. The name of the author of the Mishnah doesn't appear, so we assume it to be what we call a Stam Mishnah, is an unnamed Mishnah, is assumed to be with in accordance with Rabbi Meir, authored by Rabbi Meir. So the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Diyomer Rav Nuna Mishmei Dula. Rav Nuna quoting Ula, says, Omer Hoya Rabbi Meir, Kol HaMishana Mimatbea Shetovu Chachomim Begitin. Anyone, Mishana means changes, from the format, Matbea is the format that the sages instituted with regard to writing a get, and she uses such a get to marry a second husband, Havlad Mamzer. The Vlad is considered a Mamzer. She's considered basically an undivorced, a still married woman to the first husband. So that the rabbis have this power. In other words, the Torah gives you the framework for divorce, i.e., writing a get. How the get is to be written, the details of it, in order to establish a Torah effective get, those details are defined by the rabbis. So that if you deviate from the rabbis' detailed instructions, you haven't created a Torah quality, a Torah effective get. So she's not divorced, even on a Torah level. The Mishnah gave quite a few examples of improper kingdoms or incorrect kingdoms. Lashum Malchus Yavon Utsricha. And on the side we have a topic heading, HaGemara Mazbira HaTzorich L'chol HaDugmos Shel HaMamlochis Shebemishnah. The Gemara here explains the necessity of having all of the examples of the incorrect dating of the get that were featured in the Mishnah. Why do I need all these examples? Utsricha. Notice we have a long point marking. The I Ashmina and Machashina Geddes, if you would have featured that the get is considered a void, a get written in Bovel and dated in accordance with the Roman emperor's ascension to throne, Mishum de Malicha, because Rome was the contemporary ruling authority or parallel ruling authority of the time. And that, if you were sitting in Bovel and imagine the Babylonian authorities get wind of your having, you, the Jew, having dated his divorce document featuring the competitive Roman authority, that could cause great dissension and strife and be a true aberration of peaceful relations. That will infuriate them. What are you dating your document in the name of our competitors? Vol Malchus Modayu Malchus Yavon. But if you're in Bovel and you record a get using these ancient authorities, what was, that's not a threat to the current Babylonian authorities. Again, we emphasize we're using the word Bovel referring to the Babylonian Babylonian Jewish exile community historically at the time that the Romans were ruling. So that the Modai and Yavon are things of the past. So I would have thought that that's not such a serious aberration of Shalom Malchus. It wouldn't infuriate the local authorities, and therefore we can overlook it. It wouldn't represent a psul. So the Mishnah tells us that even so, it's puzzle. The Asher Malchus Modai Umachus Yavon. And if we would have taught you that, so there I can still understand why the get is considered void. Mishum de Malchus Havu. After all is said and done, they were also empires, and that could cause a sense of jealousy on the part of the local current ruling authorities. Why are you recording other former empires when we're around? So that also could be understood. Avol binyan habayis ma'idav ave. But the Jew living in Bovel recording a get based on the how many years it has been since the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, that's what was. Why should that be the grounds of voiding a get? V'yashmin abinya b'aisin. If we tell you that is in fact grounds for voiding the get, dating in accordance with the original, with the building, how many years it's been since the building of Beis HaMikdash, d'yamri, because that could, it could be understood as in interfering with Shalom Malchus, d'yamri, the ruling authorities seeing such dating could say, ah, komad kirish v'chayud, they're remaining, they are
remembering. They're remembering their original glory. Oh, the Jewish original glory, with the dual allegiance, all kinds of claims that one hears even nowadays when this recording is being made. So that could interfere with with Shalom Malchus, with peaceful relations. Aval Churban HaBayis Ditzarohu Emolo. But if a Jew living in Bovel, in the diaspora, would record as his divorce document based on the destruction. How many years it's been since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash? That's painful. I would think that wouldn't interfere with infuriating the Shalom Malchus, interfering with Shalom Malchus. If anything, you might say, oh, look at the Jews, they're reminded of their destruction, and that would bring a grin and a smirk on the faces of the Gentile authorities, and that wouldn't infuriate them. If anything, that might even improve their attitudes. So I would think that maybe that wouldn't be the reason for voiding a get. Tzricha. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us, even in that case, you're not giving the local authorities their due. You're not, we'll say, they're not flattering them enough, and hence, you're violating our rules with regard to writing gittin. And therefore, that too is considered a get posel, a voided divorce document. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.